Hey everyone, this is Barbara Villacqua. I hope you're all staying safe during this pandemic. As you all may know, in Ontario, we are loosening restrictions. We have entered phase one of hopefully this recovery, and we are still social distancing, of course, but parks have opened. Other businesses have released and opened their doors just for pickup and whatnot. I don't have to give a full summary exactly because I'm sure we are all very, very aware, but just to get to the point, I will be discussing, emotional abuse in terms of, the mental health effect that this pandemic has had on Ontario, as well as the impact it has on our relationships. And my first two episodes were actually about the mental health of Ontario and relationship issues caused by this pandemic. And they're all connected because when we are struggling mentally, when we are experiencing anxiety, depression, and it's affecting us, it can be very debilitating. And any form of mental health can, physically manifest and deteriorate our full out physical health, because anxiety, depression can cause stress that can lead to heart attacks or cardiac arrest or high blood pressure or even just stomach aches or queasiness. Like, I can go on and on, right? And in terms of our relationships, when we are communicating with each other, but when we are self-isolating in this pandemic, we don't have that human interaction if we are staying away from our significant others, or if we don't live with our family or our friends, right? We are literally physically isolating, and we only can resort to online communication, which just isn't as human, right? But it is still something, right? So I can't discount that, right? And with that being said, when we are so alone and we feel down and we are just, ourselves to ourselves, we feel that we can only rely on ourselves, and that's not necessarily healthy in all cases, right? And in terms of, connecting with others, we don't know how to proceed because we are not experiencing a typical situation. It isn't conventional for us to be, experiencing a global epidemic, right? I mean, the last epidemic we have actually struggled with, and if we were even alive at this point, was 1918 with the Spanish flu, which killed billions, unfortunately, and tragically. And with that being said, any form of, mental health issue can lead to abuse, and we can all be guilty of inadvertently emotionally abusing each other. But the difference is that the physical abuse and emotional abuse, even though they're so closely correlated, they're not treated the same, and I'd like to raise awareness about that. So I just wanted to point out that with physical abuse, as you all may know, there's those animate scars that you could point out, that you could see, right? And it's so easy to tell a friend who's been physically abused, to contact the authorities or to go to a friend's house or just visit a shelter and remain anonymous and be discreet and confidential and protect their own identities. And while that's all great advice, and of course, safety and health are utmost important, right? Survival is what we all require. It's a part of our basic necessities to live. We just usually just focus on that as abuse, right? And that's not the case, because even though physical abuse can affect your safety, like your physical safety, emotional abuse can also affect your safety, but in other ways. It can affect your mental health. And like I said, any mental health issues, stress, anxiety can be very debilitating, can, almost feel like it can hold you back from pursuing anything in life, which, I mean, it shouldn't, but I resonate on personal experience with anxiety, of course. And it's easier said than done, because sometimes it could, physically impede you health-wise, right? It could physically manifest into any condition, any heart issue, stomach aches, queasiness, like I mentioned, feeling numb. It could go on and on. Even just feeling weak and tired could be due to stress, right? Which can also be affected by anxiety, right? And that's also prevalent, especially during this time. We're stuck at our homes. If we don't go on walks or we don't, form our usual routine, we might feel bored or alone or, upset, anxious, and we're just kind of left to our own emotions to pick up the pieces, right? And even though with physical abuse, it affects our safety, like I said, with emotional abuse, it could affect our mental health, which is also very important. And with that being said, in terms of emotional abuse, it can also affect our relationships, right? And we all inadvertently emotionally abuse each other. Like sometimes we say a joke that's quite hurtful and we don't mean it. And we might actually not deliberately mean it, but someone might construe that you do. Or they might interpret that you are alluding to something else that's more suspicious, right? And I mean, we all are guilty of it and maybe we actually don't mean it, which obviously translates to us not being, negative individuals. But there are some toxic, unhealthy individuals that are actually intentionally trying to hurt us, to control us, to manipulate us. And that's what I want to get into. And we all need to be aware of our own actions. Sometimes we are toxic. We don't realize that maybe we struggle with another form of mental health issue, or we are, we're going through something and we don't realize that we are affecting those around us in a certain way. And we have to feel that I'm just going to therapy. There's no shame in that. We are all human. We're not alone. We're all in this together. We all need to heal from our own experiences that we can resonate with. We all struggle with different situations that are equally as important. And we've all, gone through situations in our lives, of course, right? And I just wanted to elaborate more on these forms of emotional abuse. So with that being said, I mean, like, there are different factors of emotional abuse that we might not necessarily pinpoint, because people might think, oh, emotional abuse, is that just physical abuse where you call someone names? Well, not necessarily, because even that, even though you can't physically touch words, you could say, okay, well, that's a bad word. That's a form of profanity. That's an insult. That's a name. With emotional abuse, it isn't always as apparent. It's more discreet. If someone is trying to intentionally emotionally abuse you, they're very sneaky about it, right? So one of the first hallmarks of emotional abuse is lying. Now, just to summarize and just to make you all aware, and I'm sure you all know this anyway, we all lie. We're all human beings. We all tell little white lies, right? Something that might not seem as, significant, more trivial, right? We all lie to protect someone's feelings or, protect someone from being discovered, or just so you don't hurt another individual. For example, if someone asks if they look fat in a certain dress, I mean, there are certain ways of telling the truth where, for example, you can always just say, well, that dress isn't the most flattering for your body type, which is pretty safe, right? I mean, we all need to dress according to our body type, or of course, our own individual style. Being authentic and being true to yourself is extremely important. You should be able to wear whatever you want. However, there are dress codes that we must adhere to at certain, businesses, and we can't control that. If we need to, look a certain way entering a certain restaurant and they won't accept you either way just because you have to be more formal, like, that's completely understandable. But, if someone does say, did I gain weight, there are ways of going around it and being like, okay, yes, you did, but you could be nice about it and use a euphemism and kind of resort to that and say, well, you're just curvy, which isn't necessarily cruel, but it always makes sense to be honest. But obviously, you're not going to outright be like, yeah, you're fat, right? Because that's just mean. And there are different ways of proving your point without trying to maliciously put someone down, right? But yeah, with lying, we all do it just to avoid hurting someone's feelings. So if you think someone is especially sensitive, when they do ask you if they look big in a dress, you might be like, no, not at all, because you don't want to hurt their feelings. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's just you want to avoid that situation. You want to refuse any form of confrontation. And while you can't intentionally suppress that, you try to work around it. It's just human. I'm not saying it's good necessarily, but we're all guilty of it, right? And or if you know someone did something like lied themselves, you might, because they're your friend and you want to avoid any drama, you might avoid exposing this truth or not being open, or you might omit details from the story and still tell parts of the truth, but not the whole reality, because you're just, you know, not trying to sugarcoat it, but you're just trying to avoid that confrontation, like I said, right? And like I said, lying, yes, we're all guilty of it. But in terms of emotional abuse, there are people who lie to manipulate other individuals. They might lie about their age. They might lie about what they do for a living. They might lie to control you, to get you to do something. So for example, if someone says, oh, I really need money, I'm in a horrible situation, if they're your friend and you trust them and you've known them for years and years and their character has proven to you that they have always been honest and they've been reciprocal in your relationship, they have vested effort into you, they have helped you in other ways, whether you were in a situation with someone else and you were being hurt or affected by it, you know, they've proven to you that they need your help and that they have, you know, reciprocated and also helped you, and they're trustworthy and they haven't been caught lying. They're always pretty open, and even with about things that are ugly and things that are, you know, things that would hurt you, and they just want to let you know and make you aware, they seem to be true, then usually you could say to yourself, yes, I trust that person, I'd like to help them out. Although people who seem to be like that can fool you. But there are others who will be like, yeah, I need some money. I'm in a bad situation. I'm in an emergency. I need help. I struggle with a medical condition. And yes, again, most, you know, typical human beings with consciences wouldn't lie about something like that just to get money. But there are people who do lie because they suffer from a mental health issue or because they are narcissistic and they just want to gather funds and they want to manipulate you. And it's just, it's all so sick and twisted, right? But there are people there who exist. You don't want to be naive and you don't want to fall for that, right? But I mean, lying is one thing and lying is a huge thing. And, you know, sometimes you can't tell the lie from a truth, which goes into my second hallmark or factor of emotional abuse, gaslighting. And, you know, some of you might not be aware of what gaslighting is. It seems to be a novel term, a new term that we have just recognized in the last few years that we hear about from psychologists, news articles, in social media, whatever the case is. But it actually existed from an old film where a man convinced his, I guess it was significant other, that the lights weren't being turned off, and they were, or something else was occurring. I need to actually research this more. I overheard it somewhere, and basically he convinced her that she was going crazy and that she needed to doubt her reality because it didn't exist. So basically gaslighting is lying like 2.0. You know, people will take parts of the truth and try to, you know, brainwash you and attempt to confuse you and try to take the facts apart and really, you know, try to like make you feel like you're overanalyzing, you're overreacting, that you're too sensitive. And when someone says, you know, you're being too sensitive, you misunderstood, you took it the wrong way, you forgot, you didn't hear me correctly, you know, that might actually be the case. I mean, you could write something online or in a message and someone might misinterpret it as something that's real when it's really a joke. It does happen. Sometimes we don't intentionally mean to do that to someone, and, you know, anything can be misconstrued online because most of body language is, you know, tone of voice or facial expression or communication or whatever. But, you know, people still do gaslight. I mean, a form of gaslighting would be like, for example, if someone told you something happened at a club and they said, oh, let's just say they said they saw your boyfriend was cheating on you at a club. And this friend, quote unquote friend, for example, isn't exactly the most credible source. They have a habit of lying. You know them by association through other friends, and they kind of just feed you information and they're just telling you, oh yeah, I saw this. And then they keep changing their story, going, oh, I'm not sure about what I saw really. Like maybe my memory was hazy, or what I saw, it could have been that, you know, people were just very close together in a close proximity at a club where it's crowded and loud. And, you know, it's so easy to misinterpret things in the dark. And you're just like, they kind of backpedal. And that, while that might be the case that people are drunk and, you know, there are so many different factors affecting this specific set of circumstances, it's still, it doesn't give them the right to constantly change their story. And if they change their story like three times, then it is very suspicious, right? And my whole thing is investigation. So if I feel like someone's lying to me or gaslighting me, I always try to ask other sources of information, not just researching online, but friends, for example, who were there that night and can be trusted. Or I'll look at various individual stories, different witnesses, and ask them of their account of the story. I won't give them specific details to offer them ideas on where to lie or spin the truth, but I'll see their side of the stories, their perspectives, and remove or, you know, take certain details and see if there are any consistencies or common denominators of the story. Like, for example, if majority of those witnesses allude to one consistent reality, like they, for example, said this girl that isn't in a relationship initiated a kiss or whatever the case is. And then let's just say your boyfriend pulled away. It was completely surprised. But the person who's gaslighting you might say, oh, well, I saw this and then I saw that. But then you ask other people and these people are actually more trustworthy and they say, oh no, we saw this, right? So it can get very confusing. It can actually make you feel like you're going crazy. Like, oh, maybe you're overreacting. Maybe nothing happened, whatever. But actually something did happen. Or if you actually did physically see something happen and someone said, oh, well, you misunderstood it. You just saw a moment of it. Or, oh, you saw the first beginning of it or the ending of it, right? And it's so important to check your sources and see who is credible. And I really think that's the whole part of gaslighting, is to know what you saw, take record of it, take screenshots if need be, keep messages, keep any form of evidence or search if you need to. And you need to hold on to those facts and be like, okay, I'm not crazy. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. This is what someone told me. But don't just rely on one person. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, excuse me. Look at what you see in general. Look at who you could trust. Consider all facts, right? And that's how I see it. And gaslighting is a form of manipulation, our third hallmark of emotional abuse, right? And manipulation, again, is like lying and gaslighting. Maybe someone is trying to guilt trip you and say, oh, I really need a ride somewhere, or oh, I need to be somewhere right away and I need this amount of money, and or else someone is going to kick me out, or someone, I can't afford the surgery, or whatever the case is. And the thing is that you can't control everything or everyone. You can't save or help everyone. And this is what I've learned the hard way, whether it's a friend, a relative, a coworker, whatever the case is, you can help, you can offer your services, but you don't want to become codependent. You cannot be this person's hero all the time, right? Sometimes we have an ill family member or a disabled friend or whatever the case is, where situation's a little different, but even then still, you need to focus on yourself. You can be there for the person, but you can't, you know, deprive yourself of all your services and sources until you are completely neglected and then you are screwed over, right? So that's what's the important part is. You can't just let people guilt trip you, but you can still put your foot down and see where you can, you know, reinforce a boundary, for example, where you could still help the person. Maybe you could send them resources like online links, or you could suggest that you connect with them with someone who can better help them, someone who works at a social service agency or the government or whatever the case is that actually has the resources to help them, and that's their job that they're being compensated for, right? So unless you work in a certain industry where you can actually help the person, remember that you could still offer, you know, help and assistance and compassion. And you can still be there for them, offer them emotional support, whatever the case is, but you can't be their mother or you can't be their therapist. Like you could still help. And, you know, talking to a friend when you're going through a breakup, being there for them, or if they're going through a situation, their family or their health, That's a friend. Obviously you care, but you can only extend your services so much, or else it does become very codependent, and that's very toxic, right? So there's that, right? And I mean, we all might be in situations where we might need someone's help and we might ask them for help, and that doesn't make you a bad person. Sometimes we're all in situations where we feel desperate to resort to certain means, or we will have to, you know, swallow our pride and ask someone for their aid, and that's fine. But if you're constantly, you know, trying to guilt trip someone, just be aware that they cannot always save you. You can ask a wide variety of people, but you also have to, you know, figure it out yourself, consult other services online, call different agencies, whatever case you're dealing with, right? So just be aware that sometimes we don't realize that we lie. Maybe we're telling a white lie, or maybe we do guilt trip, but we don't mean to. Maybe we just feel like we're emotionally read in. But, you know, doesn't necessarily make you a bad person in that case, but there are people who do it intentionally, know what they're doing, and they do struggle with like narcissism or whatever the case is. But I mean, those things like lying, gaslighting, manipulation, guilt tripping, those are all things that are very hidden, very discreet, that you don't always point right away. It's like you feel like you're becoming an investigator where you have to look at all the facts. Okay, what's true, what's not? And it can be very like frustrating, very draining, right? Very overwhelming. And you just don't know how to proceed, and you don't know who's telling the truth. And if you are surrounded by individuals who constantly lie or manipulate, or they're not all there, maybe they do suffer from disability or mental illness that isn't their fault, and they just don't represent a whole part of the truth, or maybe they were drunk a certain night, or whatever the case is. I mean, not to allude to a specific situation or hypothetical example, but those are like, you know, items or hallmarks of emotional abuse that you don't really necessarily recognize immediately. And that's what makes it so dangerous, that it could, you know, eventually eat away at your self-esteem, and then you don't realize it until it's too late, right? So, but there are other more apparent forms of emotional abuse, for example, like bullying, like insidious jokes. Sometimes, you know, you think, okay, well, maybe it is a joke. Maybe they were just trying to be funny, and it was in the context of a situation that was wildly inappropriate, or people were joking, making crude comments, and they just wanted to be in the moment. And that's so easy to do in certain situations. But if someone's, for example, calling you names, or they're communicating they're upset with anger or negativity, and then they just call you names, even if it's in the moment, and sometimes we all do it and we think someone did something that they didn't, or whatever the case is, it's so easy to like lose your cool. And, you know, everyone's feelings are valid. Everyone, you know, goes to situations where they feel like they are being gaslighted and are being lied to, and that can't be minimized. Like, that is, you know, if they have a certain form of trauma they've experienced in the past, where they recognize that their instincts are telling them that something is off, that something suspicious, something is going on behind closed doors, or that someone shouldn't be trusted and they're just realizing it. Whatever the case is, if they feel like their stories aren't consistent, or if someone's, you know, facts of their tales are, you know, they're on and off, they keep changing their story, then, you know, maybe they become abusive themselves, and then they're put as the abusive ones, but really they're the victims. And, you know, that's something else. But obviously calling someone names, and, you know, like if they're just calling you names and trying to make you feel guilty because they are narcissistic and they know they can get what they want by doing that, and they're making you feel like you're nothing without them, then that's where it becomes very toxic, and you need to leave. You need to walk away from the situation. I mean, there are certain, you know, friendships or relationships, or what, like any form of relationship in your life, whether it's with family or significant other or a friend or a coworker, employee, whatever. Sometimes you have to curtail contact because you've already tried to explain yourself multiple times. And, you know, sometimes you might not be aware of the situation they're experiencing, that they're saying out of anger, or maybe they're struggling with a medical condition or whatever the case is. And that's why communication is so important, and you need to do that. But there are other situations where the person does know what they're doing, and they don't care to change, or they're doing it intentionally to get what they want, right? And so that has to be pointed out as well. And with control and threatening and anything like that, some people will intentionally insert ideas into your head, obviously not animally inserting ideas into your head to you know, make you do something like what I said, guilt tripping you or making rules for you. Like if you're in a relationship and someone is saying, yeah, you can't wear that, or yeah, I want you to do your hair like this, or oh, I don't like what you're wearing today, please change it. You cannot do this. You can't eat that. Then that is obviously a very manipulative, toxic relationship. And there's nothing, I mean, there's no excuse to control what someone eats or what someone wears. Like, you are your own individual. You know the risks. You are aware of your, of you know, your situation in life, where you're going, what you're doing. And you are your own individual. You're over the age of 18, let's just say. And even if you weren't, if you wanted to eat something, that is your decision, right? So, and then there's a couple of other hallmarks of emotional abuse as well, like blaming. And that's a tricky one too, because, you know, we're all susceptible to saying just, oh, that's your fault. Whatever, I'm going to stand up for myself and I'm going to take accountability for my own actions, but that's your fault. And yes, we should all be able to take responsibility for our own actions. And we should all at least feel apologetic, or, you know, showcase some empathy and compassion for others and be like, you know what, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. And if you're actually intentional on fixing the situation, then that is one thing. That's one matter. However, if you are blaming someone to turn around on them and you refuse to apologize, or you can't be aware of your effect on someone emotionally, then that is where you need to look in the mirror and be like, okay, like, am I getting ahead of myself? Or is it because I'm trying to turn this around, this other person, and I'm actually guilty of what they're accusing me of, right? And, you know, blaming, it's a big game, right? And, you know, the other thing people who are emotionally abusive are guilty of is deflecting. And deflecting, you know, is basically like, for example, if someone is cheating on you and they say, I think you're cheating on me, and you're like, well, why would you think that? It's because they're possibly cheating on you. And this is something I've read myself and, you know, I've seen on the internet, reading anecdotal stories about this, where people who are cheating on you or lying to you or are guilty of doing something they shouldn't be, they deflect on you and accuse you of doing that same thing, right? And it's very interesting. I mean, I don't know if it's a form of manipulation. It can be, but it's also something that stems from a place of guilt and conscience, where like they don't want to get caught, or they think they will. And then they just kind of like just try to displace it on you to kind of gather that attention off of them, right? Or they lash out at you in anger, which obviously isn't justified. But, you know, emotional abuse is a broad term, and that's what basically I have showcased today. And I just wanted to end off by saying, you know, that we can't always control what others do to us. Actually, I mean, we can't, but we can control what we do. We are, you know, monitors of our own actions. And, you know, sometimes we slip up, and that's okay. Just got to take accountability for our actions, of course. But just be wary of those who constantly, you know, do any of these things. I mean, lying, I mean, you know, some people are pathological liars and they need therapy, they need help, they need to attend a support group, right? And, you know, they might have suffered a traumatic childhood where they felt like they had to lie to protect themselves. I don't know. And I'm not saying those are necessarily bad people, but they definitely do need help. And gaslighting, I mean, again, sometimes we don't realize we're trying to manipulate the person. Sometimes it's just like, okay, like, I just don't want them to remember something that I did. I'm just scared of explaining myself. I mean, there are so many different situations that we can explain gaslighting, but usually gaslighting is manipulative. So keep that in mind, right? And bullying, of course, if someone suffers from like anger management or something, they could receive that assessment as well, right? And you know, nothing excuses threatening. And I think threatening is probably like the highest form of emotional abuse, because you know what you're doing and you know that you are controlling that person if they don't comply to whatever you're saying. You're putting yourself in a position of authority that you don't deserve, or that you're not inserted in, and you're trying to puppet that person to do what you want, right? And that's not okay, whichever way you look at it, right? But all of these things, lying, gaslighting, manipulation, bullying, control, threatening, blaming, deflecting, and even joking in some cases can be very emotionally abusive. So just keep that in mind. You know, this is a hard time with the pandemic and everything, and you want to be self-aware, right? And And it's just, it is very difficult because you only come in contact with certain people, right? So it's just like, what can you do? And, you know, just when you're self-isolating, think of it as a time of self-reflection and, you know, knowing your relationships. And yes, some relationships can be affected by this pandemic. It's just the natural aspect of it. But at the same time, you are in control of your own actions, pandemic or not. If you don't want to communicate with someone or if you want to end contact with someone, just say so. Don't gaslight them. Don't manipulate them. Don't lie to them. Just be open and honest. And, you know, we all need someone to talk to during this pandemic. We don't want to isolate anybody if they're going through any mental health issues. But just be aware of what you're doing and stay safe. Take care. Bye.